What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
I've met with leaders from America's religious communities, like Pastor Hybels. People of different faiths and beliefs, some liberal, some conservative, who nonetheless share a sense of urgency.
Again and again, we heard stories about the economic hopelessness that first drew them to this great country, and we heard about their current daily dilemma, living in an almost surreal state of limbo.
Political science professors found that when they looked at all the writings the founders used and relied on and quoted, they found 3,154 quotes. The most quoted source was the Bible. 34% of their quotes came out of the Bible.
One of the problems that evangelicals have is that they think that just quoting miscellaneous passages from the Bible makes a person a Christian. Nonsense!
Well, this story might surprise you. It might remind you of another Old Testament story, although it happens in a completely different context. Here a king about to die, doesn't want to die, prays to God, and receives a remarkable sign right there on, if I remember the story correctly, right there on the doorsteps of his palace. The sun's shadow stops and turns around. That doesn't happen every day. We're going to be talking about the reversal of the sun's shadow, King Hezekiah, and this is recorded two places in the Old Testament. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest for the first half hour of this Tuesday's Issues Etc. It is Tuesday, July the 20th. We are coming to you live, and you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet anytime in the next 2 hours at @IssuesETC. After our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, we'll talk Christianity in Kenya. Pastor Thomas Odland of Project Timothy in Kenya will be our guest. Helen Hull Hitchcock will join us to straighten out what she says is some pretty inaccurate reporting on the part of the press regarding new Vatican rules about disciplining priests for various things. Then, in the second hour of the program, our regular visit with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute, and we will continue with part two of a four-part series on law and gospel. Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet @IssuesETC. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum. We use it as a basis for our conversations. It's called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back. It was an exciting week last week.
This just doesn't happen in our everyday experience. They say, as sure as the sun rises, it's things like that, that the sun keeps always in fact, I was asked this question by my daughter just a couple of days ago about the sun setting over here, and then at a different time of the year, it's setting over there. But it may change its course a bit, but it never stops and turns around. Tell us the story of King Hezekiah, this relatively young man facing imminent death.
That's right, 39-year-old king, and this is another one of these stories that we're talking about this summer where God takes his creation and he uses it in a miraculous way to help us understand who he is and what he's doing for us in terms of our life and salvation. So in this text, 2 Kings 20, also in Isaiah 38, both cases, very few verses, we get the story of Hezekiah, and it tells us that he became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him and tells him, "Thus says the Lord." So this is straight from God. "Set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover." Pretty serious, pretty final words, and they come through the prophet, but directly from God to Hezekiah. So not sure how any of us would react to that kind of clear word from our pastor, our prophet. But Hezekiah, he turns his face to the wall, and he prays to the Lord and asks him to remember his faithfulness, asks him how he's tried to live in the Lord's ways and walk in his ways, and done what is good in God's sight. And then he weeps bitterly. And before Isaiah gets a chance to leave, he gets another word from the Lord. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. And then he tells him, on the third day you'll go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. And he tells him that he'll deliver the city out of the hand of the Assyrians and will defend it. And then he tells, and then Isaiah says to him, bring a cake of figs and let's take them and put it on the boil. So there must have been some infected boil on Hezekiah, and he says that he may recover. And actually, he does. Hezekiah says back to the prophet, what shall be the sign and the Lord that the Lord will be with me and heal me? And that's where Isaiah says to him, the Lord is going to do what he promised, and he says, this will be the sign to you. The shadow shall go forward 10 steps or back steps, or forward or back. He actually gives him a choice. You tell me what you'd rather see, the shadow going forward or back. Hezekiah says, well, it's an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Let's see it go back 10 steps. And Isaiah talks to the Lord about that, and that's exactly what happened. Amazing story. Interesting, a lot of things to think about here and how God interacts with us, his people.
There are a couple of things here that I think will puzzle both young and old about this story. Probably the first one being the fact that it appears that God, well, changes his mind. I mean, he issues kind of the preemptive death certificate to Hezekiah.
Yeah.
What kind of
yeah.
king had Hezekiah, I guess to set the context, what kind of a king had Hezekiah been? I mean, there are a lot of very unfaithful kings that God probably should have snuffed out in the prime of their lives.
But that's not the case with this guy, you know, and he's able with confidence to say to the Lord in his prayer, look, I have tried to live and walk in your ways. I have been faithful. He says, I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. Now, of course, Hezekiah is no superhuman, that's perfect and sinless, and he knows that even in his prayer. But this is a man of faith who, when he gets this clear and devastating word from God, in faith of a God who loves him, not only who created him, but who loves him, turns to that God and says, please, please don't do this, and holds up that he has had faith in him and that he has trusted in him and tried to live in his way. And that's an amazing thing to do at that kind of news. And he's not really, I don't think, calling on his own laurels, but mainly to say, I'm one of your children, and calling on God the Father to be faithful to his children. And I think it'd be very hard for one of us to do that, to when you get that awful news, to turn around and say, wait a minute, God, you know, not that, but this.
So the first puzzling thing here, and I don't know if we can even fathom or try and psychologize God here. I mean, there are certain aspects, a lot of aspects of his counsel that he does not share with us and
that's
that we're
right.
not permitted to look into, But someone would say, can God change his mind?
Well, it appears here that he does, and he's God, and God is all-powerful, all-everything. He can do whatever he wants. He can change his mind if he wants to. That's not beyond his ability. But to speculate and to mess with that, I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is that God does hear our prayers. He commands us to pray. And, you know, I've heard people say to me, well, what's the point in praying? God knows everything. He sees everything. He knows my need. He loves me. He'll take care of it. Why do I need to bother praying? And there's sort of a kind of a disdain for it, you know. And then you have the other end of the pendulum where people think they're going to, you know, they're going to control God by their prayers, and that whole power of prayer kind of movement where, you know, as long as we pray enough with enough faith and enough sincerity, God's going to do whatever we ask for him unless it's against his commandments. Well, there's somewhere in the middle. I think God hears us. God tells us to pray. Yes, God knows, and he sees, he knows our suffering, and at times when we can't pray, we have that wonderful promise of the Holy Spirit that he prays for us with groans that words cannot express. But the lesson here is about turning to God in faith, praying to him for our every need, and knowing that this is a God who loves us, who not only hears us, but answers our prayers. And here he answered the prayer and gave a sign to make sure that this Hezekiah would understand that he heard him and that he's doing what he asked for. It really is an amazing story. And, you know, you might then say, well, does this ever happen today?
Well, let's take that question up on the other side of the break. Does this happen today? And here is Hezekiah. Not only has God decided to spare his life, add 15 years to his life, but then he seems rather bold to inquire of the prophet, in this case Isaiah, for an additional sign. Not only is he healed, not only is he given a reprieve, if you will, he is, well, he wants to see a sign. And God so generously gives him the very sign he asks for. We'll talk more about Hezekiah and the sun reversing its course after this.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say it's all right.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of July. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about King Hezekiah, a faithful king found there in 2 Kings chapter 20, also Isaiah chapter 38. He, after He's been assured of healing and then 15 more years of life, God's mercy and grace. He is bold to ask for a sign. That's before we get to how are we kind of in this situation ourselves, that seems like he's double dipping a little bit. I mean, the guy gets his life extended, and then he says, what sign shall I look for? Is this another indication of Hezekiah's faith?
Well, it really is a bizarre kind of thing, because either he's going to be healed or he's not, and if you're going to be healed, that's a pretty clear sign, and the fact that God is acting. But I think it is. He's a faithful man, and yet, you know, think about what God told him through Isaiah. Your time is up. You're going to die. Put your house in order. A very strong word from the Lord, a very final word from the Lord. So he's praying and he's asking for signs, and God does very generously give it to him. And he tells him, you know, I'm going to heal you, and not only heal him, but tells him exactly, I'm going to add 15 years to your life, and it's like icing on the cake, I'm going to deliver you in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Amazing. God just showers him, pours on him. And I think, you know, why he asked for the sign, I don't know that we can know, but we can see that God doesn't jump his case like I might as a parent when my kid asks me for something and then they keep badgering me and like they don't think I'm going to give it to them, and I get irritated, and then I say, well, if you keep on, I'm going to take it back because I'm tired of listening to you. You know, that's the human thing. That's what we would expect God to do, to get tired of our faithlessness, to get tired of us wanting to really know, instead of just trusting that he loves us and he's going to do what's best for us. God says, sure, I'm going to heal you, and this, and it's all good. Amazing story here.
So let's come back to that question you posed before the break. In what sense does this also speak about how God so graciously deals with you or with me?
Well, God, you know, we talk about this a lot. What are the signs? What are the great miracles that God gives us to hold on to? What are the tangible things? What are the fig cakes in our lives? And we know the places where God has promised to be, and those are the places we turn to. Those are the signs for certain. In his word that we read, that we hear, in the water and word of our baptism, in the bread and wine and word of the Lord's Supper that gives us his body and blood, that heals us of our sin sickness, that doesn't just extend our life for 15 years, but grants us eternal life, eternal God's grace, eternal God's mercy, and his favor. That's what those things give us. And God could do it with a breath, he could do it with a thought, but he did it by pairing his powerful and active living word with simple water that we can feel and see and hear as it's poured, and with a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine that we can taste on our very tongues and take into our human sin-sick bodies. He didn't need those things, just like these things that happened, the sun moving back, wasn't what cured Hezekiah. But God grants those to his sinful children who are beset with doubt and fear and uncertainty in their own sin and the sin that surrounds them in this world. Gracious God, and he gives us those gifts over and over again. We get to hear his word. We get to read it. We get to take the Lord's Supper. We get to renew our baptisms and see other baptisms and be reminded of what he's done for us in that wonderful ways that he showers us with his mercy and goodness.
It really says something about the character of God.
Sure does.
That, I mean, this whole story, as you've told it here, One will be tempted to talk about the character of Hezekiah in all of this, but it says so much more about who God is for Hezekiah than who Hezekiah has been.
That's exactly right. It really teaches us about God, who he is, what he is, and who he is for us. A loving God who listens to his people, who listens to our cries, who wants us to live and not die, who doesn't want us to be sick, and who showers us with his blessings in spite of our sin, in spite of our pestering, if you want to call it that, in spite of our doubts or our beggings. And it also tells us about our God, who is the Creator, who once again, in this instance, demonstrates that he is Lord over his entire universe, and he can overrule his own laws of nature that he set up for us whenever it pleases him, in response to the requests and needs of his people. God can do it, he does do it, and he did it ultimately on the cross on Good Friday when his son that he sent to this earth to take on human flesh and to take on the sin of the world, when God died on the cross and he rose again to new life, overcoming the ultimate natural power, death, the finality of death, Christ came back to life for you, for me, guaranteeing that when we die, we will overcome because of Christ on that cross and in that tomb. If these things all point to that, to Christ on the cross, to the resurrection on Easter morning, this is little in comparison to God becoming man, suffering, dying, and coming back to life.
There are Christians who will readily believe that God can do this kind of a thing. Stop the sun's course, reverse it, at the simple request of a man, 10 steps back, easy for God to do. And yet who will doubt that God is able to do through the same created things over which he has complete control. They will doubt that God is able to do something far greater that you just alluded to, deliver the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus through simple bread, through wine, through the water of baptism. Speak to that briefly, if you would.
Well, that's the other side of it. You know, these are all signs that help us to understand God can do all of this, and you have some that never can see how through these simple things God does it. But it really isn't through the water. It's through his powerful word. And in all of these great miracles in the Old Testament and the New, it's the power of God through his word. It's not the water, it's not the bread, it's not the wine, it's not the sun. It's God behind it all. And that's why it's so important to teach these stories to our children, because they become ways for us to talk to people who don't get it, who don't understand. And we hold these up and we make these connections from the Old Testament to the New, from sun on steps, from pillars of cloud, from waters parting to water pouring over their heads, to bread and wine being put on their tongues, and that those are God's miracles today that grant us forgiveness, life, and salvation. You just have to keep speaking it and keep praying that God, through his Holy Spirit, gives them eyes of faith and ears of faith to see and believe.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Material for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about Growing in Christ either by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can even ask for free samples of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
When we come back, Helen Hull Hitchcock is going to join us from Women for Faith and Family. You've probably seen the news over the weekend about new Vatican rules concerning the disciplining of priests. Now, there are a couple things that were kind of put together in these new rules, and the press is, well, making a little bit of hay of what they say is equating priestly abuse, that long-running scandal in the Roman Catholic Church, with the ordination of female priests. We'll see how the story is being reported, and then Helen Hull Hitchcock will join us after we listen to an ABC News story to kind of straighten out the record on new Vatican rules about disciplining priests. A little bit later in this first hour, we'll talk about Christianity in Kenya. Pastor Thomas Odland of Project Timothy Kenya will be our guest. The second hour of the program will kick off with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute, and then our series on law and gospel continues. Part two, this time with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Our call-in number, live this Tuesday, July the 20th, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Blogger Wesley Smith made an interesting observation that bears repeating. Whatever happened to embryonic stem cell research, our only hope for treatments and cures? A who's who of stem cell researchers met in San Francisco to discuss the latest developments. And embryonic stem cells weren't what they wanted to talk about. The scientific community is all a flutter about the advances in adult stem cells. Did you know there's no ongoing embryonic stem cell medical trials? But huge gains are being made using adult stem cells without the need to kill any human embryos. So, has the media and politically correct crowd apologized for calling us adult stem cell people anti-science Neanderthals? No, and I'm not holding my breath. The victory in itself is all we need.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.